Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Tradcat Night Radio. I'm Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Tradcat Night, your one-stop shop or website for all of the day's latest end-time news and church news as we head closer and closer to the fruition of the Third Secret of Fatima, which entails the formal schism in Rome, eventually the false prophet and antichrist Maitreya showing up on the scene. And of course, we are dealing with Planet X, Planet X's incoming, if you will, which is going to be causing a lot more disturbances upon Earth, a lot of Earth changes, which we continually document here at Tradcat Night. Just want to thank you all for your continued prayers and support over the past 3+ years. We continue to plug along, and folks, for this radio show tonight, I'm going to keep it a little bit more general. Keep it more in tune with Lent. Probably title this one Faith and Works, Sheep and Goats. And we'll get into a few sermons by St. Alphonsus de Liguori on the advantages of tribulations and also on the tenderness of Jesus. We'll get into some of the readings for today. And I encourage you all to subscribe to Tradcat Night right now so you can get all the latest radio shows, all the latest news, information, everything that we're putting forth out here on Tradcat Night. As you know, I'm trying to get out more general videos, Father Hess videos, Father Malachi Martin videos, traditional Catholic apologetic videos for you all this Lent. And I hope that you all are enjoying some of those videos which I've already put forth over the past few weeks. Again, I encourage you all to bookmark and get to tradcatnight.blogspot.com. Along the right-hand side, there's a ton of information. New poll question is up. There's a blog archive. And folks, listen, I'm here for you. If I could be of any service to you, again, contact me at apostleofmary@hotmail.com. I can give you not only my Skype input, but I can also give you my phone number if you would like to stay in contact via that method as well. So much going on in the world, folks. Really hard to keep up with a lot of the news as of late. For those who have missed some of the more recent news, we've got North Korea firing off missiles over there in Asia now, just developing. We've got North Korea apparently training for a strike on U.S. bases. Now, of course, they've been saying that for quite some time, but you never know, folks. And again, the end game in all this is to formalize a united humanity, to break down nations, if you will, to continue to propagate this one-world socialist republic, which will be headed by Antichrist Maitreya. And we've got some more quotes coming from Francis as of late, him saying to faithfully consult and carry around a Bible as often as you would cell phones. We've got more comments, questionable comments coming on individuals producing too many kids because they're not suited for such. Just so much coming from both the church side of things and from the secular side of things. As you know, I try to do my best to keep up on it. We'll keep our eye on the latest between what's going on between Iran and Israel. That seems to be beefing up over the past 48 hours or so. How about this story, or developing stories, of these continued people dressing up as clowns, just running around terrifying children in the woods or in nearby areas, and apparently now they're armed. I mean, just the madness. Talk about charity going cold in these times. And again, I'm going to be putting out a piece so that you all can know I spent the whole afternoon reading a book by Cardinal Manning on the Antichrist and the end times and the Great Revolt and Great Apostasy. And within the first few pages, he again documents how this era of peace, or the triumph, if you will occur after Antichrist. And he covers what I have already covered in radio show format, how there was just difference in opinions between, you know, the early fathers and some of the saints as to the length of the timetable on this. There's a lot of people who seem to have this understanding that once Antichrist is killed and swallowed up, basically, if you will, and thrown back into hell, that's the end of the world. Jesus comes back that day. Well, no, that's not at all what the Catholic Church teaches. Again, difference in opinions as to how long that length of period of time is, but certainly not immediate, if you will. There is a period in between Antichrist's death and then our Lord actually returning. And so I want to do a recap on that book, which I just read. Hopefully I'll have that out to you tomorrow. I've got a few other pieces I want to come out tomorrow, including, how about this, folks? Remember, I've been telling you that in 2022, the faithless Jews and the mainstream media are pushing this star sign in the sky, which will apparently herald in Antichrist, Maitreya's messianic age, they call it. But what's interesting to note, the New Age states that when we see this star in the sky, that it will be some sort of mega spaceship. And I'm going to post this tomorrow. This is actually a headline. Mysterious megaship captured by space station camera before NASA feed cuts. And this was being reported upon by The Mirror, popular news outlet out there in the UK, and you're going to see a lot of this propaganda, folks. Don't fall for it. We know who runs the mainstream media. We know that from what the church has to say, especially Our Lady of La Salette, that the Antichrist would be working together with the demons of the air. We've got a great deception at hand. As a matter of fact, I posted that very strange story. I'm not sure if some of you have seen it, but this giant humanoid-shaped cloud spotted all over in Zambia. It was apparently above this one specific mall and had the shoppers who got out of this mall running in terror, and there's a video on it. A lot of people have suggested maybe it was Photoshopped. Well, no, there was video on it, so it was actually occurring. But the bottom line is they're really beefing up Project Bluebeam. If you haven't studied Project Bluebeam, make sure you are studying that so you are not deceived yourself. Things that really are being seen are not at all what they're being propagated. They want you to believe a certain narrative. Folks, we are dealing with the demonic, and oftentimes just simply something that's not even a reality. I've covered this at length. Again, Research Project Bluebeam. Now today, we're less than an hour from the feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas. And so I'd like to start off this broadcast, if I can, asking for St. Thomas to intercede for us in this crisis in the church. St. Thomas, who was just so crystal clear in his thinking, his logic, his common sense, and it's something which modern man has altogether lost. We now have a new religion which puts humanity and man on the throne rather than Christ, rather than faith. And in the end, as you know, the Masons want reason to rule out. And so we cannot be a part of this Vatican II cult of man, as Paul VI called it. We must resist. We must stay clear of these churches teaching the principles of this new religion. And that's going to cause problems for a lot of you. You're going to lose a lot of friends. Join the club. You're going to be called a nut job. You're going to be called a heretic and a schismatic. Join the club and just sign on the dotted line, folks. It ain't going to get any better, and the church is about to be driven underground. So let's weed out all self-love. Let's not care about what people have to say about us and continue to press on and hold the faith. And so that's an essential premise of this talk tonight, is let your faith be your guide in the times ahead, because it's truly not going to get any better. So we ask St. Thomas, and this is a prayer of St. Thomas Aquinas specifically. And so we should all, as Catholics, as Christians, every day truly offer up our day in thanksgiving, all of its, you know, the wonderful times, all the sufferings that we're going through, all of it. We have to unify it with Christ's life. At the end of the day, we're supposed to be seeing things through Christ's eyes. Therefore, we're going to have to go through the same trials and tribulations, folks. There is no other way. outside of the Royal Road of the Cross. And so we, in harmony with St. Thomas Aquinas, pray in this spirit of thanksgiving for all things, not just those which are apparently good, but those quote-unquote bad things and the storms that God sends us that we so often run away from in self-love. But they're only meant to conform us. They're only meant to expand our hearts in selfless love. And the more we run, the greater cross we will find. And so here's his prayer. I thank you, O Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Eternal God, who have deigned not through any merits of mine, but out of condescension of your goodness to satisfy me, a sinner, your unworthy servant, with the precious body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this Holy Communion be not a condemnation to punishment for me, but a saving plea to forgiveness. May it be to me the armor of faith and the shield of goodwill. May it be the emptying out of my vices and the extinction of all lustful desires, an increase of charity and patience, of humility and obedience, and of all virtues, a strong defense against the snares of all my enemies, visible and invisible, the perfect quieting of all my evil impulses of the flesh and the spirit, binding me firmly to you, the one true God, and a happy ending to my life. I pray to you that you will deign to bring me, a sinner, to that ineffable banquet where you, with your Son and Holy Spirit, are to your saints true light, fulfillment of desires, eternal joy, unalloyed gladness, and perfect bliss, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. And so this is my prayer for all of you, that you continue along in your Lenten journey. And it is, of course, runs contrary to human nature to want to be out in the desert, if you will, because in our human nature, we want to be concerning ourselves with being busy, city folk, if you will, constant distractions. We as modern men have truly created a false city of security around us, which is ultimately going to crumble down. And again, as I've been mentioning, on a more macro level, God is going to put this world into a dark, not only literally, but in a spiritual sense, only to purify his own people. And so that on the other side of this storm, we might see on that side of the storm his good work in our own souls. And so that is my prayer for you, is that you continue on in your Lenten journey. Do not retreat. Continue on in your fasting, your prayers, and your sacrifices. Make sure you continue to pray for the Pope, for prelates, for priests, for poor souls in purgatory, and for poor sinners on a daily basis. I especially ask you all to pray for those with addictions, whether it be pornography or any sort of obsessive compulsive behavior, if you will, but also for those who are mentally afflicted, who are struggling right now as we speak. And I just encourage you all and remind you all that when we are our weakest, we are our strongest, because we're relying upon God's grace. I say this repeatedly, faith over fear. So God can use any trial, whether it's mental affliction, whether it's physical affliction, whether it's the loss of a home or a bad breakup or whatever it is, whatever trial it is, he simply is waiting for you to demonstrate your faith. And therein he will act once he sees this in you, and you will begin to grow and greater faith. And you will realize that God can truly do anything. Because we say this, we see this in Scripture, right? If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move the mountain. Well, we say that, but do we really believe that? We have to arrive at that point wherein we are entering a period where we truly are going to have to live on faith on a daily basis. Many of us right now, again, live in security and comfortability. We've got the bank accounts. We had a roof over our head. Nothing's really bothering me. Well, if you're really paying attention to the news, folks, God's anger is more than demonstrating itself around the world. via all of the earth changes and rocks crying out and all of the disputes and dissensions. And so I encourage you all to kind of break free from that. Break free from the trolls. Break free from the negative energy. Don't surround yourself with company who's only going to bring you down. Surround yourself with like-minded individuals who are faith people, who know and understand that God has a plan in the end overall. He doesn't just send the storm anonymously or for no reason. It is sent specifically with a purpose, all to root out in the end truly self-love and for us to grow in virtue. So remember, when you are weakest, you are strongest. Now, having said that, we've covered some of the latest headlines. We've covered a prayer, if we could get into today's lesson for the day. And this is from the prophecy of Ezekiel 34:11-16. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep as a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself amongst his scattered sheep. So will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I will lead them out from among the peoples and gather them from the foreign lands. And I'm going to stop right there and cut it off. And it kind of dawned upon me upon reading this today. Many are very discouraged. I was actually just talking with a young lady who is a traditional Catholic, whose mom is kind of faltering away from the faith. And she asked her today, do you really think there's even a heaven? And this is someone that's professing to have been a Catholic her whole life. That is where we are at now, folks. People are now questioning some of the basics. Don't give up. Now is not the time. We know we have to persevere to the end. We know it's going to get worse. We know there's going to be more heresy. We know there's going to be more compromise. But you got to hang on. Luke 18:8, think ye that when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith upon the earth? There will be only a few left. That's just a reality. And so there is a great scattering across and abroad right now. The mainstream quote-unquote churches do not house the faith. As much as people want to try to rationalize and spin it, well, my priest is not that bad. Well, he's not too bad. You know, we've got incense. We have the TLM Mass. It's not that bad. Yeah, it is that bad. Your priest is teaching heresy if he's following Vatican II. He is teaching the principles of the new religion. That's a reality. It is that bad. We are in the universal apostasy. We are in that revolt, which will precede, ultimately, the great apostasy when people literally turn their backs on Christ for the and choose the Antichrist. This was even verified by Marie Julie in her own writings. How many priests would turn their backs because they were worldly, because they wanted to fill up their stomachs, because they wanted their salaries and things along that line. They will take the mark and they will go away of the world. Sad, but it's a reality. Shouldn't come to you. We've got to persevere to the end. And so our Lord in this, I think, is stating in Ezekiel here 34:11, I will tend to my sheep. Right? We have the Blessed Virgin Mary too. We know we're going to be reduced to that essentially. So get over this notion of, you know, you're complaining and griping now that you've got to drive an hour to get to a church. Quite honestly, you're not even going to have that in the future. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, and I pray that we all get priests to wake up. But it is taught in the early church, in tradition, it was taught by the church fathers. We are going to be scattered. The faith will be hard to find. Sacraments will be hard to find altogether. We haven't even hit the great persecution. We're just kind of on the outskirts. We're seeing those early signs of what is to come. But when buildings are closed down, when it becomes illegal basically to become a Christian, to be a Catholic, those are the times that are upon us. You know, that's not 20, 30, 40 years away, folks. These laws are becoming more insane and speaks to the lunacy of our hour on a daily basis. Most of you are not following this stuff, therefore you truly can't comment on it, on something that you're ignorant on. Now our Lord goes on to say in this lesson, I will rescue them from every place when it was cloudy and dark. It isn't going to be your bank account. It isn't going to be your house. It isn't going to be the people you know. It's going to be Jesus. As Our Lady said at La Salette, only faith will survive the times ahead. So where are you at in the faith world, if you will? Are you truly at that point where you have enough faith to say, I can make it through anything and everything, whatever God throws at me, if you will? Got to be ready to adapt and change. That's one of the things it is to be an eagle. He will lead us out of the cloudy and dark, and he will gather us once again from being scattered to on the other side of this great storm. The church will have its victory, and at least for a shorter period of time, the whole world essentially will be Catholic at that point. I took a lot of heat a few weeks ago wherein I posted a question and answer video on the website talking about how predominantly only Catholics are going to survive the 3 days of darkness. And that's a reality. I don't say that as my own opinion. I say that referencing the common opinion of the mystics and saints who spoke about the 3 days of darkness. Now, continuing on, moving off of that platform of the lesson for the day, we have from the gospel, and basically in summary of Matthew 25:31-46, it's talking about our Lord and his majesty separating the sheep from the goats, people from his right hand to his left hand, people who didn't perform works of mercy, and those who did perform works of mercy. And again, it kind of just dawned upon me today. Of course, we've got heretics of old who will teach you faith alone. But now in this more modern times, we seem to be riding the hide of works alone. Now, it doesn't even matter that you have faith or any certain type of faith. Just go out and do good works. The impotent humanitarianism that Pope St. Pius X warned about. And so all we have to do now is just go out and feed our neighbor without even having the proper norm of faith, and we are considered good or in the church. You know, that is what is implied. And again, it's just a further attack on faith, obviously coming from the Masonic sect. But again, in all of this, we are separated in front of God in the end on the basis of our faith. Do you have faith or do you not? Do you hold the Catholic faith or do you not? There will be many who come to the Lord and say, well, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I do this or that? Well, you didn't do the will of God. You didn't hold that faith that Christ passed down to the apostles. You made fun of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You made fun of Catholics for praying to the saints. You made fun of an idea of a notion of purgatory. Well, guess what? You're not going to share in heaven with Jesus. It's that simple. And so as Catholics today, let us remind ourselves truly of all the benefits and all the blessings that we have right now, even in the worst crisis in church history. If you're here listening to this broadcast, for the most part, most of you are essentially at the same point and probably agree with a lot of what I have to say. So you are seeing clearly through this Vatican II deception. That's something to give thanks to God for. These poor people who still hide behind Vatican II, who are still going to the new mass, who still think, you know, Francis is the next best thing. They're lost. Objectively speaking, they're lost. They're gone. Got to keep praying for them. And so be of good cheer. Make sure you go out there and do your best in charity to correct these people on the level of doctrine. And that's all you can do is continue to pray. So again, don't be discouraged in this crisis. Be ready for the day. Don't let the devil overrun you, catch you off guard to where you're now in this den of despair and doubt and worry. Will we ever, you know, will my family ever get through this? Will my father ever convert? Will my child ever convert? Will our Lord ever help me pay off this house? That's not how we want to approach it. We displease God when we show him doubt, worry, and we fall into this den of despair. My good friends, as I mentioned, I would like to get into a few sermons of Saint Alphonsus De La Gori. And again, how many of us, I was just providing some direction for a young lady, a younger woman going through some trials just about an hour ago. We were kind of discussing this a little bit. You know, it's always very healthy not only to give thanks, as we mentioned, we opened up with a prayer of thanksgiving of St. Thomas Aquinas, but to always, for at least 5 minutes, sit and meditate and see ourselves in hell. You should do that. It's a very healthy thing to do. You should meditate upon the horrors of hell. You being there, being separated from God, being in this place of self forever. Meditating upon your own vices. And tying back with our Lenten experience and examining our conscience, if any one good thing can come out of it. And there's so much truly we can gain from this Lenten experience, is to help solidify a habitual examining of our own conscience. Not just talking once or twice a day. I'm talking habitual. The more you continue to talk to Jesus inwardly, the less opportunity there is for you to sin on the surface and getting into other people's affairs and being busied and being worried and this or that. The most peaceful people truly are those who have the silence and solitude aspect down to a T. And we see this theme over and over again in Scripture. Jesus departed, and he withdrew, and he withdrew here. He was laying down the blueprint for us all, folks. Even for our married couples who've got the 9-to-5 and they got a routine going, you need to withdraw. You need to follow that blueprint. You need to make it work so that you have time for yourself. And by self, I mean, of course, prayer and being alone with Jesus and Mary to pray. But how many of us can recall the advantages of our tribulations, as St. Alphonsus de Liguori has in his works? I look back on all of my past mistakes, and I truly can remember even moving back to the Ohio Valley, and on the basis of that alone, I fell into a deep and dark depression, because I didn't want to come back here, surely. I was having a whole lot of fun down in Raleigh. But years later, now seeing what God had in store, and what he was asking me to do, I'm at perfect peace with it. And so that's what we always have to do. Let's not trace our own dreams. Let's unify our will today, right now, with his will, and be satisfied with that. This is what true happiness is. When we align our will to God's will, not the other way around. We don't arrive happiness from us taking the stick, if you will, and telling God to bend to our will. Oh yeah, that's right, God. Make my favorite football team win. Yep, that's right. The roulette wheel just hit the number 9. Bend to my will. Bend to my will. It's not how life works, folks. We must be empty if we are to be filled. And so the degree to which you will learn to let the self goes, the degree to which God ultimately can use you. And maybe God can only use you but for a few minutes out of the day, because you're too busy chasing your own dreams and truly are just living in the world of self. But nevertheless, I digress. Let's get back to the advantages of tribulations. Now, St. Alphonsus de Liguori says this: in tribulations, God enriches his beloved souls with the greatest graces. Behold, St. John in his chains comes to the knowledge of the works of Jesus Christ when John had heard in prison the works of Christ. Great indeed are the advantages of tribulations. The Lord sends them to us, not because he wishes us misfortune, but because he desires our welfare. Remember, at the end of the day, God is not interested in how many Mercedes-Benzes you own at the end of the day. He's not interested in what prestigious honors you were just awarded. This is not how you're going to be judged by. San Alfonso says, hence, when they come up upon us, we must embrace them with thanksgiving and must not only resign ourselves to the divine will, but must also rejoice that God treats us as he treated his son, Jesus Christ, whose life upon this earth was always full of tribulation. That's one of the things that I mentioned to this young lady today. There was not one hour, if we read our Imitation of Christ, Thomas Kempis, that Christ didn't suffer. And yet, at the moment we begin to suffer, we think God has abandoned us. Think about that for a second. That's really deep. It's such a simple statement, but it's very deep. At the moment that we even begin to irk of some kind of suffering, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, we begin to think God hates us. We begin to think God is not with us. This is because we are full of self-love, folks. That's because our world, we're seeing the world through our own eyes. We're not seeing the world through the eyes of an eagle, through Christ. He goes on to say, I shall now show, in the first point, the advantages we derive from tribulations, and in the second, I shall point out the manner in which we ought to bear them. Now, on the first point, on the advantages we derive from tribulations, he says this. He's speaking from Scripture now in Ecclesiasticus. What doth he know that hath not been tried? A man that hath much experience shall think of many things, and he that hath learned many things shall show forth, understanding. They who live in prosperity and have no experience of adversity know nothing of the state of their souls. How interesting is that? How many people do you know today who are out and about living a life of mortal sin and they're bouncing around, there is no heaven or hell, smiling on their face, and you think to yourself, my goodness, how can they be so happy and at war with God interiorly? Because they have not known adversity. This is why we have to pray for these poor people, that God does send them some sort of tribulation and does shake them up so they can go inward and see the dark reality of what is within. And I speak to thousands of girls in the adult industry on a weekly basis, and this is just something that I have come to universally know about them in general sense, not all of them. They could care less. They sin and they have no sign of remorse. They don't care. They put self first. And this is their life. Money, materials, possession, vanity. They are their own world. They know no adversity. Well, what's going to happen soon when God pulls the rug out from underneath everyone in the economic collapse and all the revolutions to come and the epidemics? You all know the things which are coming. The tribulation is coming upon us, and wars and everything. These people will stand virtually no chance. They're going to be railroaded. They're going to be smacked upside the head. And hopefully they will receive that miracle of grace, which is why we have to continue to pray the rosary, so that their souls might be touched and say, maybe I got this whole living thing wrong. Maybe I should have been living for someone else. Maybe I should have been living for God and not for myself. Now, St. Alfonso de Liguori says this, in the first place, tribulation opens the eyes which prosperity had kept shut. St. Paul remained blind even after Jesus Christ appeared to him, and during his blindness, he perceived the errors in which he had lived. And that perfectly describes what God did to me. He put me on my backside with my health. He attacked, we can't really say attacked, but he allowed mental affliction, he allowed physical affliction, he allowed it all. I became so desolate, everything turned dark, and it was in this dark, if you will, that I once again found God. I once again found this fountain or thirst for truth, to realizing that God is all and there truly is nothing else. There really is nothing left for me in this world. Seek ye first all of these seek ye first the kingdom, and then all of these other things will be added unto you. But does that sound like modern man? Oh dear Jesus, please let my favorite soccer team win. And if you don't, I'm not going to Mass on Sunday. Does that really sound like a soul inebriated in the Sacred Heart of Christ? How are you living? You living by the law of self or by the law of selfless love? Continuing on, we have St. Alphonsus saying, Now the prodigal, when he found himself under the necessity of feeding swine and afflicted with hunger, exclaimed, I will arise and go to my father. Secondly, tribulation takes from our hearts all affections to earthly things. Again, that's one of the principles of being an eagle. Detachment from all earthly things. And I realize some of you are married. You have to obviously carry out your vocation. But you still can be detached of things while you still have things, if that makes sense. You could very easily give things away, even though you have a good number of things. Detachment first starts in the heart. But as eagles, this is how we're going to fly by. We're not going to get through the day, if you will, by thinking that things are somehow going to get us through the day. It's going to be faith. It truly is. Now, when a mother wishes to wean her infant, she puts gall on the paps to excite his disgust and induce him to take better food. God treats us in a similar fashion, says the great saint, to detach us from temporal goods. He mingles them with gall, that by tasting its bitterness, we may conceive a dislike for them and place our affections on the things of heaven. God, says St. Augustine, mingles bitterness with earthly pleasures that we may seek another felicity whose sweetness does not deceive. So where are our eyes today? Are we looking through the carnal eyes of man and all we see is things and the latest Gucci purses and the cool cars with the rims and the latest gadgets and gadgets? Are we seeing things as God sees them? Are we seeing things from a salvation standpoint? That thing which is truly only important to God, which is why we must unify our hearts here at Lent to pray for poor sinners and for the poor souls in purgatory, and to offer our sacrifice, to pray, to fast and go above and beyond even what the church would ask of us, and almsgiving. And you all know what to do as Catholics. Go out there and do our works of mercy. We have to do these things. It's not optional, folks. Now, thirdly, they who live in prosperity are molested by temptations of pride and vainglory, of desires of acquiring greater wealth, greater honors, and greater pleasures. Tribulations free us from these temptations and make us humble and content in the state in which the Lord has placed us. Hence, the Apostle says, we are chastised by the Lord that we might not be condemned with the world. So if God didn't truly love us, he wouldn't chastise us. He would just let us go and let us be. But he wants to try to save us, and hence why he sends forth a great tribulation coming, wherein it's going to seem like there is no order anywhere on any level. And so on the surface level, my good friends, if your eyes are fixated upon the world, you're going to be paying attention to those things, and you will give in to fear. Yet if your heart is ordered, and it's ordered upon the Sacred Heart, and it's ordered upon Catholic truth, what do you have to fear? What would it matter if you died that day, or 7 years from now, or you made it through the persecution of the Antichrist? What would it truly matter, as long as you were doing God's will? Are your eyes on heaven? Are they on Jesus in this Lenten retreat, if you will? Are they still on the world? Are you out in the desert and you're still looking behind you? Oh man, I really miss the city. I really miss my 4 hours of video games. I really miss watching the ball game every night. Where are your eyes at? Your feet can be in the desert, but your eyes could be turned around and still upon the world, folks. Let's not deceive ourselves. Now, according to St. Alphonsus, fourthly, by tribulation we atone for the sins we have committed. much better than by voluntary works of penance. Be assured, says St. Augustine, that God is a physician, and that tribulation is a salutary medicine. Oh, how great is the efficacy of tribulation in healing the wounds caused by our own sins. Hence, the same saint rebukes the sinner who complains of God for sending him tribulations. Why, he says, do you complain? What you suffer is a remedy, not in punishment. And again, I wrote this in a blog just this past week in the quote-unquote Catholic Pieta book, obviously Novus Ordo. There's one, a modern-day priest, to actually send away storms. You know, a prayer to keep away the storms. Why in the world would you want to keep away storms? Why would you want to keep away the cross and trials? This is what's literally going to turn your crusty, coal-like heart into gold. Adversity, adversity, adversity. None of us on the human nature level wants to go through adversity, but through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can get through each and every trial. Again, to further grow in the virtues, to expand in selfless love. Because in the end, that's all that we're truly judged by, is charity. Now, Job called those happy men whom God corrects by tribulation because he heals them with his very hands with which he strikes and wounds them. Blessed is the man whom God corrects, for he woundeth and cureth. He striketh, and his hand shall heal. Hence, St. Paul gloried in his tribulations, as we know in the book of Romans. We should only glory upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll take a look at the cross. Stare at it. Meditate upon it. Just that alone. It's a sermon in a picture, if you will. It truly is a synopsis of everything that we're working for. And there is a lot of work that must be done interiorly if we are truly to arrive at the spiritual marriage with our Lord. There's a lot of rooting out, a lot of turning away from, a lot of self-denial, a lot of detaching, a lot of trials and tribulations so we can expand and can in selfless love and continue to grow in faith. We have those opportunities. Crosses are opportunities. Again, as I mentioned at the top of this broadcast, let faith be your guide. Fifthly, by convincing us that God alone is able and willing to relieve us in our miseries, tribulations remind us of him and compel us to have recourse in his mercy. Scripture, of course, verifies this in Osi. In their affliction, they will arise early to me. And again, this is why God has to afflict not only his church, but afflict the world in general, so that people have that opportunity to return to him. And truly, it is a great mercy that God has not allowed the first domino to fall over and everything just fall apart. I truly sit back in awe, and I constantly think about this on a daily basis. But God knows that there will be more to turn their hearts back to them. So if you're finding yourself already struggling now, this is a good sign. Because God is only preparing you for the storm to come so that when it comes, you can have order in your soul and you can have peace and you could smile at the storm coming instead of running around like a chicken without a head like the world will once everything starts to collapse. You won't be one of those unfortunate souls who will be stalking the streets with his shotgun and blowing people's heads off for water and food. You won't be one of these knuckleheads. Settle yourself now. Use the trials and afflictions now that God is giving you before the storm and realize that he's preparing you for it and so that you can be instrumental in helping him help others. Now continuing on, the great saint says, hence addressing the afflicted, the Lord said, come to me, all that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. You will notice how Jesus says, I will refresh you, not the world, not whatever thing you're searching for that's in the world that he created. Hence, this is why he's called a helper in troubles from the book of Psalms. When, says David, he slew them, then they sought him and they returned. When the Jews were afflicted and were slain by their enemies, they remembered the Lord and returned unto him. This is, of course, in Old Testament times. Now, sixthly, tribulations enable us to acquire great merits before God by giving us opportunities of exercising the virtues of humility, of patience, of resignation to the divine will. The venerable John de Avila used to say that a single blessed be God in adversity is worth more than 1,000 acts of prosperity. Takeaway says St. Ambrose, the contests of the martyrs, and you have taken away their crowns. Oh, what a treasure of merit is acquired by patiently bearing insults, poverty, and sickness. Insults from men were the great objects of the desires of the saints who sought to be despised for the love of Jesus and thus to be made likened unto him. How great is the merit gained by bearing with the inconvenience of poverty. My God and my all, says St. Francis. In expressing this sentiment, he enjoyed more of true riches than all the princes of the earth. And I can truly relate to this, folks. I truly, at a certain point, was well off. I was living that playboy lifestyle, the American dream, if you will, which was only a nightmare in the end, certainly spiritually. But this is one of the things that I have learned to embrace after St. Francis, whose life has become very instrumental to me and my conversion, but embracing poverty. Here we have a world, we have these conciliarists, we have these heretics who are trying to create a new utopian society for humanity. And of course, in the end, we'll have nothing to do with faith or Christ, but of course, we'll be under the Antichrist, and which will involve every religion and a united humanity, as I mentioned. But one of the things they're trying to do is just get rid of poverty altogether, even though in Scripture it says, the poor you will have you with you always. We need to embrace poverty. Jesus is our supply. Now, how truly has Saint Teresa said that the less we have here, the more we shall enjoy there and after. Oh, happy is the man who can say from his heart, my Jesus, thou alone art sufficient for me. Jesus is the reward, folks. Say it over and over to yourself as you're going through your latest trial, whatever that may be. Jesus is my supply. Jesus is my source. Jesus is all I need. Jesus is my supply. Jesus is my source. Jesus is all that I need. Now, if, says St. Chrysostom, you esteem yourself unhappy because you are poor, you are indeed miserable and deserving of tears, not because you are poor, but because being poor, you do not embrace your poverty and esteem yourself as happy. I have had both, folks, and I have never been more happier in my life. I realize that God is my supply. I realize that it's not about money and materials now. I realize that in order for us to be an eagle, we truly have to be detached from all things. And poverty is an essential element. And it truly does tie in with humility and simplicity, as we know. Now, the great saint says, by bearing patiently with pains of sickness, a great and perhaps the greater part of a crown which is prepared for us in heaven is completed. The sick sometimes complain that in sickness they can do nothing, but they err, for in their infirmities they can do all things by accepting their sufferings with peace and resignation. This is what St. Chrysostom says is the key of paradise. Now, continuing along, St. Francis de Sales used to say, to suffer constantly for Jesus is the science of the saints. We shall thus soon become saints. It is by sufferings that God proves his servants and finds them worthy of himself. How much are you willing to suffer? A stubbed toe? Is this all you can muster up for Jesus? When it comes, push comes to shove, and the persecution of the Antichrist reigns, we know from this apostasy that many are going to turn their backs on the faith and simply say, no, I won't go ahead. I don't love our Lord enough to do that, seeing all of the frightful things that they see. Jesus said, care not for the body. We've got to start taking that more seriously. I know far too many people, even a lot of my friends, so to speak, you know, who spend 2-3 hours in the gym and spend 2 or 3 minutes praying on a daily basis, and they wonder why they have so many problems. Well, maybe you should get it the other way around. Maybe it should be two or three hours at least in prayer, and maybe hitting up a few minutes, you know, doing some running or some exercising. You got your priorities backwards. It truly is interiorly a disorder which is simply manifesting itself to the surface, and people are blind and don't realize that. So we have to all pray that God reveals our own blindness, and so that we can continue to correct what we need to correct. Now, continuing on, whom, says St. Paul, the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and he scourges every son whom he hath received. Hence, Jesus Christ once said to St. Teresa, be assured that souls dearest to my Father are those who suffer the greatest afflictions. Hence, Job said, if we have received good things at the hand of God, why should we not receive evil? If we have gladly received from God the goods of this earth, why should we not receive more cheerfully tribulations, which are far more useful to us than worldly prosperity? St. Gregory informs us that as a flame, is fanned by the wind, it increases. So the soul is made perfect when she is oppressed by tribulations. To holy souls, the most severe afflictions are temptations by which the devil impels them to offend God. And again, I was talking about this with some other people today. It's not just on the sexual level. Again, it's to abandon the faith altogether. This is an attack that I see. When you're out there in the desert by yourself and you're all alone in your thoughts, this is where the devil will raise his ugly head. And so now you've got a two-front warfare. You got a battle with yourself, which is hard enough, and then you got a devil battle with the whims of the devil. And oftentimes I've just found, you know, these desert experiences to be in the dark night. And so it's more acute. But God's with you in the trial, folks. He wants to see what you're made of. He wants to continually see you grow in selfless love. Love for Jesus or love for self. Now, and St. Paul says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will also make issue with the temptation that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10-13. God permits us to be molested by temptations, that by banishing them, we may gain greater merit. Blessed, says the Lord, are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They are blessed because, according to the apostle, our tribulations are momentary and are very light compared to the greatness of the glory which they shall obtain for us in heaven. For that which at the present momentary and light of our tribulation worketh for us above measure exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Don't think anyone else is not going through something. There are always people, quote unquote, worse off than you are. Keep that in mind. And again, God's closest suffer the most. It is necessary then, says St. Chrysostom, to bear tribulations in peace. For if you can accept them with resignation, you shall gain greater merit. But if you submit to them with reluctance, you shall increase instead of diminishing your misery. Again, so if you're battling these tribulations, if you're finding that these crosses are being sent to you and you're battling God, oh God, why are you sending this to me? And you actually begin to have your heart turn and maybe have a little disdain towards our Lord. And say, if you really loved me, God, you would do this. Again, this is the ugly voice and the ugly head of self demonstrating to God and truly to yourself who is really captain of your own boat. Is God captain of your heart? Is Jesus and Mary truly the only ones that occupy your heart? And then whatever happens in life, you'll be able to submit to. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy every time. Of course, we've got deaths in the family and this or that. It's going to be difficult. Trials were never meant to be easy. If they were, we wouldn't have saints. Literally. No tribulations, no trials, no saints. That's it. No cross, no redemption. If we wish to be saved, we must therefore submit ourselves to the trials. Through many tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom of God. A great servant of God used to say that paradise is a place of the poor, of the persecuted, of the humble and the afflicted. Hence, St. Paul says, patience is necessary for you, that doing the will of God, you may receive the promise in the book of Hebrews. Speaking of tribulations of the saints, Saint Cyprian asks, what are they to the servants of God whom paradise invites? Is it much for those to whom the external goods of heaven are promised to embrace short afflictions of this life? We only have a little bit more to go here, folks. I hope you all are staying dialed in. This is a very, very important subject, if you will, concerning crosses, concerning trials, concerning afflictions, because I do believe in my heart that God is preparing people now. Those trials are being set forth now so that you can be refined going into the storm and prepared more so than people around you, if you will. Certainly the world who knows not the cross, who believes it's folly, who doesn't understand adversity in a Christian concept. In fine, the scourges of heaven are sent not for our injury, but for our good. Let us believe that these scourges of the Lord, with which, like servants, we are chastised, have happened for our amendment and are not for our destruction, which is found in Scripture, Judith. God, says St. Augustine, is angry when he does not scourge the sinner. When we see a sinner in tribulation in this life, we may infer that God wishes to have mercy on him in the next, and that exchanges and and that he exchanges eternal for temporal chastisement. But miserable the sinner whom the Lord does not punish in this life. For those whom he does not chastise here will treasure up his wrath, and they will receive eternal chastisement. So again, when you're looking at those people who are doing things and living a life of obvious mortal sin to you from your perspective, and they got smiles on their faces and nothing ever truly bothers them, they've got eternal wrath waiting for them on the other side, and it truly is a blessing for us to be chastised now. Why, asked the prophet Jeremiah, doth the way of the wicked prosper? Why, Lord, do sinners prosper? To this the same prophet answers, gather them together as sheep for a sacrifice and prepare them for the day of slaughter. As on the day of sacrifice the sheep intended for slaughter are gathered together, so the impious, as victims of divine wrath, are destined to eternal death. Destine them, says De Hamel in his commentary on this passage, as victims of thy anger on the day of sacrifice. When then God sends us tribulations, let us say with Job, I have sinned, and I indeed have offended, and I have not received what I deserved. O Lord, my sins merit far greater chastisement than that which thou hast inflicted upon me. We should even pray with St. Augustine, burn, cut, spare not in this life, that thou mayest spare for eternity. How frightful is the chastisement of the sinner of whom the Lord says, let us have pity on the wicked, but he will not learn justice. Let us abstain from chastising the impious. As long as they remain in this life, they will continue to live in sin, and thus shall be punished with eternal torments. On this passage, St. Bernard says, Lord, I do not wish for such mercy, which is a chastisement that surpasses all chastisements. Now we'll move along here to a second point. Remember, there were two points to this, and this is on the manner in which we should bear tribulations. He who suffers tribulations in this world should, in the first place, abandon sin and endeavor to recover the grace of God. And again, so many of you are despairing. You're thinking that if you do trip up in mortal sin, that God will not forgive you of your past.
Yes, he will. God is very tender, and he will receive you. We know what we must do as Catholics. We know we have the great gift, what our Lord left behind in the sacrament of penance. And when we trip up, we know we need to get right back up. We need to have proper contrition. We need to have amendment for our lives and continue to press on and continue to take even more steps than we did before. We have to continue to grow and grow until it pains us. It's going to be painful breaking free from self-love. And when your thoughts are occupied upon God all day long, then you know you are on the right path. You know that you are thinking about God and not yourself, and all that pleases him and not that pleases us. For as long as he remains in sin, says Saint Alphonsus, the merit of all his sufferings is lost. If, says Saint Paul, I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If you suffered all the torments of the martyrs or bore to be burnt alive and were not in a state of grace, it would profit you nothing. But to those who can suffer with God, with resignation for God's sake, all the tribulation shall be a source of comfort and gladness. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy, says Scripture. Hence, after being insulted and beaten by the Jews, the apostles departed from the council full of joy because they have been maltreated for the love of Jesus. And they indeed went from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer for Jesus. Suffering for ourself in and of ourself produces nothing. There is no joy in that. But for Jesus, it's a whole different ball game. We know that as Christians. Hence, when God visits us with any tribulations, we must say with Jesus Christ, "The chalice which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" From the book of John. Is it necessary to know that every tribulation, though it may come from men, is sent to us by God? He designs these trials and tribulations for your life. Over on the macro level, he has this tribulation and great tribulation coming for the world and for his church. It is by design. Everything is not out of control. It's only out of control because you have your own will. You want to see things go a certain way, and it doesn't go your way, and therefore you think they're out of control. You see, so often I see this with people who have anxiety disorders. I myself having it myself in past, and truly, this was the cause. It was because I had my own self-will, and I was constantly boxing God. And that's a boxing match you're not going to win, folks. You must, in humility, be broken down. You must align your will to his, and then it's peace 24/7. Doesn't matter what you go through. Whatever God gives to you, whatever he takes away from you, we know that if we remain in a state of grace, we have God, and that's all that we need. When we are surrounded on all sides with tribulations and know not what to do, we must turn to God, who alone can console us. Thus King Jehoshaphat in his distress said to the Lord, "As we know not what to do, we can only turn our eyes to thee." Thus David said in his tribulation, who had recourse to God, and God consoled him. "In my trouble, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me." Who should turn to God and pray to him and never cease to pray till he hears us? As the eyes of the handmaid are on the hands of her mistress, so are the eyes unto the Lord our God, until he have mercy upon us. We must keep our eyes continually raised to God. And when we don't, this is when we often slip. If we continually stayed focused on God, how in the world could we ever have anxiety? How could we have those thoughts creep into our head? It's because, honestly, you're thinking about yourself when those anxious moments come in, generally speaking, not all the time. If we constantly thought about our Lord and kept praising him, we wouldn't be anxious. What would it matter? My good friends, I believe I'm going to close there for the evening. We've already passed the 1 hour mark, and there's a little bit more to this writing here by Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Perhaps I will get it into blog format for you over the next few days. But nevertheless, you get the message and the premise of this talk concerning tribulations, concerning the royal road of the cross, concerning, in the end, you know, faith and works. We have to have both. Concerning, in the end, God separating us, sheep from goats. Which are you? Which do you even want to be? I know so many poor people in this modern world, they really don't care whether they are a sheep or a goat. I mean, they're so absorbed in their own little world. But God is about to bring the house of cards down, if you will. Man's false city of security is about to be destroyed. Man will find himself on Gilligan's Island. They will find himself on that island with, what was that movie with Tom Hanks, Castaway. Oh, you will get out your volleyball and you'll paint faces on it. And I'm saying this facetiously, of course. But people will turn back to God. It's just God and you in the end. And so let us, in our Lenten journey, continue to pray for one another that we can continue to grow in grace, to continue to grow in selfless love, to continue to enhance and deepen our relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, of course, through her Immaculate Heart, leads us to the Sacred Heart itself, our source, our beginning and end. Man can do nothing in and of himself, and sadly, this is what we have. We have man worship going on with Vatican II. All you ever hear of is human dignity this and human dignity that, and quit offending, you know, my right to equality on this and that. It's complete man worship. Complete man worship. Just because they sprinkle in a few talks on Christ and Mary here and there doesn't correct their errors. We know this is how heretics work. They have to conceal the bad with some good every once in a while, and that's how they keep people trapped in the jaws of heresy and keep people trapped in the conciliar church. And folks, people are being set up. They don't realize it, but they're being set up. And the end game has long been advanced. And again, I want to do a recap on this book by Cardinal Manning, but we are in the end of the world, folks. There's no question in my mind. There will still be many to say that's silly, that's comical. The early apostles thought that. Well, we have the luxury of sitting back and seeing all of these different aspects happening just as our Lord said on the macro level. And we have someone who very perfectly describes, eerily matches the Antichrist, who's got connections to that rebuilt Third Temple coming, which is a key sign of just how close we are to the end. And so, my good friends, I ask you all to continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for this apostolate. Let's continue to pray for the church in general. For a clearer vision, if you will. Again, I'm here for you. If you have any questions, you can message me at apostleofmary@hotmail.com. Quick little promo here. Make sure you get to my friend Chris Gagne's website, a prepping website, fatimafoods.thrivelife.com. Again, we don't want to run around like chickens without our heads, but it is prudent to prep. To prepping. We see this in scripture, whether it's through Noah or through Joseph, who knew the famine was coming and had to store grain for 7 years. We know that this is godly. Again, I'm not asking you to go out with, rent a backhoe and get all sorts of elaborate equipment and build yourself an underground bunker, if you will. But the bottom line is we got to have faith in God for us to get through what is about to transpire. And God's going to send us our own little individual trials and tribulations that we are going to have to get through. And we are going to have to express to Him over and over again faith over fear. It should just be repetitive at this point in your own soul. Faith over fear. Anytime you sense that fear coming upon you, we know from Scripture, perfect love cast out all fear. When we are with Jesus, we are safe. And if we're truly anxious about something else, it's because we want something else other than Jesus. And so don't even be anxious and the devil will try to tempt you, and I see this often now as of late, that, you know, God is not with you. God will never forgive you of your past. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. There's no question. You know, all glory and honor to Jesus Christ, and certainly my conversion came about through the intercession of our Blessed Virgin Mary. So I implore you all to run to her as any child would. Wear the scapular, pray the rosary, continue to do those things that we know we have to do as Catholics. Stay close to the sacraments. Remember, please Jesus. You objectively speaking, you cannot possibly please Jesus by going into these churches which are teaching heresy, which is the vast majority of them, sadly, due to Vatican II. And again, this revolt, it's the last sign, last major sign before the arrival of Antichrist, who is just, but quote-unquote, years away from his arrival onto this year. Not decades away, years away. Could very well be 2022, 2023. We'll see how this plays out. My good friends, if you have news tips, articles, videos, blogs of your own, comments, questions, you can send them to me at apostleofmary@hotmail.com. You can visit the sister site, tradcatnight.org. Again, I'll do my best during Lent to get out as much information as I can to you all. These radio shows, as I mentioned, we're backing off special guest radio shows for quite some time now. However, I will be doing radio shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday now. That will give you basically a 48-hour span to listen to the talk in its entirety before getting on to the next talk. You know, weekends still off, but again, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday radio shows, and I'll just be covering different topics. Whether it be just traditional Catholic apologetics, whether we're talking about Vatican II, whether we're talking about the crisis even amongst quote-unquote traditionalists, whether we're talking end times or prophecy or providing you some analysis, I'll just do these radio shows and we'll let the Holy Ghost guide and lead. But for tonight, again, the message simply is this: faith, hang on to faith, spread your wings in faith and hope as an eagle, my good friends. Keep your eyes wide in charity. Some of you may have your wings spread in faith and hope, but you're keeping your eyes closed, and we can't do that. We know this is how we're judged by in the end, is charity. So I kind of relay this in my book Fortress of the Soul. In the end, we lose those wings of faith and hope. They're not necessary in heaven anymore. So all that we have left is the eyes of an eagle. And so let us all hope that one day we can become saints, and so that we can be completely absorbed and perfectly possessed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue to root out all sin, not just avoiding mortal sin and occasional sin, but venial sin. We've got to strive for perfection. If we're not even trying to strive for perfection, we truly don't even stand a chance. If we're just going to keep it like a crapshoot and just kind of take what the day gives us, I mean, we really have to have that intent going into the day of avoiding all sin. Again, examine your conscience as often as you can throughout the day. Stay inward as best you can. Cut out all the negativity and the trolls. And that's kind of one of my things, if you will, for Lent, wherein sometimes before in the past, I may even, for a few sentences, get engaged with some of the haters, if you will, some of the other heretics and pseudo-trads who have been trying to attack me and this apostle and try to character assassinate. Just cutting out the negative energy. Their opinion certainly doesn't matter in the tribunal of heaven. And I consider it a great honor to suffer that for our Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, he was called a madman and crazy. And I've been called that quite often by pseudo-traditionalists, by Novus Wordites, by heretics in general. And that's great. They called Padre Pio that. They called St. Bridget of Sweden that. They called our Lord that. So something for us to consider in these times ahead is how we will proceed, you know, with Tradcat Night. Again, at first I backed off and was more or less only going to do one blog a day of writing, but then some of you kind of came back and were saying that they had really nowhere else to turn for information. They didn't want to go to the Remnant or 1 Peter 5 or one of these other pseudo-trad websites. And so I decided that I would put out enough information to kind of whet your appetite, if you will, try to keep you informed as best I could with some of the more major stories happening Of course, as I mentioned, Monday, Wednesday through Friday, you'll get a radio show, and every day you'll get a blog. At least that's my intent. So I hope you all continue to share these radio shows, share these articles, continue to spread word of Trad Cat Night. And again, folks, prayer is essential. We know what we have to do, but do we have the will to accomplish that which we know we should be doing? And I pray that you all consider those last words spoken. And until next time, stay safe and God bless.